Hafa Day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Mike Herbster. It was presented in September of 2007. The title of the message, Heart Surgery.
I want to challenge you to have a heart for God in this message called Heart Surgery and ask yourself tonight, does God need to do some heart surgery in your life? Is there some areas that He needs to pinpoint and take His sword to in your life tonight? Three simple truths I want you to see about the surgery and that takes place in our spiritual lives, and relate that to the physical surgery that I saw that day with Brian Floyd. First of all, I want you to notice, number one, the procedure of the surgery. Number one, the first thing I noticed about the procedure was the openness of the surgery. The openness of the surgery. When you go into a surgery, you don't come dressed like I'm dressed here tonight. You don't wear a suit and tie. You come into that surgical room the way you came into this world. You know what I mean? And here's the point. In our spiritual lives, right here in the text, we find that Jesus says that we are naked and open before the eyes of our surgeon, God Himself. Young person, you cannot hide from God. You are naked and open before the eyes of Him. Who's that? Jesus. With whom we have to do. The Bible says in Psalm 139, "Whither can I go from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and go into the uttermost parts of the sea, even there will thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me." God knows all about you. You cannot hide from God. Can you think of somebody in the Bible that tried to hide something from God? What about Achan in the Old Testament? When Achan went into Jericho, and after the walls came a-tumbling down, what a story. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when the walls of Jericho fell down? Amazing. All they did was march around the city, and God brought the walls down, and a miracle was wrought for Israel. And when they went into the city, God had told them not to take anything of the city. They were to leave it, they were to burn it, and get rid of it. But what did Achan do? He looked, the Bible says he looked, and this is what the devil does sometimes. When God tells us not to do something, the devil gets us to view things and gets us to lust after things. And he looked and he saw the Babylonian garment, and he saw the precious gold and silver, and he said in his heart, and the devil urged him, "I will take that for myself." And he took that of the accursed thing, and he took it to his tent, and the Bible says he dug a hole in the middle of his tent, and he buried that which he had stolen. Why? Because he knew he had disobeyed God. And he was trying to hide it from God. You know the rest of the story. They went to Ai, and the battle at Ai went awry. And the whole reason that they lost lives at Ai and lost the battle at Ai was because there was sin in the camp. There was somebody trying to hide from God. I wonder tonight, are you trying to hide from God? Is there a sin in your life that you've covered and covered and covered when God has said, confess? Well, Achan tried to hide it. And you know what happened to Achan. They brought, once he confessed, they brought Achan before the congregation of Israel, and the Bible says they stoned him with stones. The Bible says they stoned his family. The Bible says they took all his possessions, and they piled a stone pile. They stoned him with stones. And now I'm not saying we're going to have a stoning here tonight if you're hiding sin, but it's just foolish for you to try to cover up things in your life when God knows all about you. You are completely naked and open before the eyes of the Lord. You cannot hide from God. The openness of the surgery. Number two, I want you to see this. Not only did I notice that day that when Fred rolled into that room, he was completely open, completely naked before the eyes of the surgeon. Number two, I noticed the involvement in the surgery. This was a very interesting thing. Now, if you've ever been in a heart surgical room, if you've ever, some adults maybe even had heart surgery before, if you've ever had surgery before, it's not just the physician that's involved in the surgery. There's a number of different people that are involved in the surgical process. Nurses, technicians, other doctors, anesthesiologists, guys that that monitor the machines and make sure you don't die on the table, all kinds of people. As I counted in that room that day, there were between 12 and 15 individuals involved in the surgical process that was taking place in that room. And every single one of them is very, very important. Every one of them. You see, if the anesthesiologist didn't know his stuff, or he sticks the needle too deep, or he gives you too much gas, if you know what I mean, you could die from the anesthetic that's in your body. You could fall asleep and never wake up, and that'd be bad, wouldn't it? Yeah, he has to know what he's doing, and he's involved in that surgery. There's a guy that monitors a machine called a heart-lung machine. Why is it called a heart-lung machine? Well, because it pumps the blood through your heart, and you can actually physically stop your heart beating and use a machine to pump blood through your body. And that's an important guy that sits there and monitors that machine to make sure that you're accurately pumping the blood and that you're breathing properly, even if you're laying there on the table wide open. And that person's very important. What if he were to fall asleep? You think he'd get fired? Yeah, he probably would. What about the nurse? What about the other technicians, the clinicians? What if the doctor said, "Hand me a scalpel," and they handed him the wrong tool? What do you think would happen? He'd get fired too. Every person is very, very important in that room. There's actually another surgeon that works with the head surgeon, because in a bypass surgery, not only do you take a saw, literally a saw, and I won't go any further, but they take a saw and saw right through the sternum bone, open you up. But while they're doing that, there's also an individual down on the leg, because that's where they take the veins to do the bypass part of the surgery. There's a physician that's cutting into the leg and pulling out veins out of the leg. Just a small piece of vein about that big. And actually, most people that have had bypass surgery said that's one of the most difficult things to recover from, is actually taking the part out of the leg. And that's awful painful when you recover from your heart surgery. And so he's important too. What if he accidentally cut the wrong thing? What if he didn't singe it off properly and you started bleeding after he sewed you up? You were bleeding inside your leg. Now, there's all kinds of things that are important in the surgery, and lots of people involved in the surgical process. Hey, look this way. There are a lot of people that God involves in the surgical process of your life. There's a lot of people that God uses to affect your hearts. Can you think of some? What about your parents? Those of you in here that have godly Christian parents, you ought to praise the Lord for that. You ought to thank the Lord that you have parents that want to bring you to church, parents that encourage you to come to youth meetings like this, parents that have Bible studies at your home, read the Word of God with you, pray together at the table or whatever, parents that are encouraging you in your walk with Jesus Christ. They are involved in the heart surgery process that takes place. What would you think of Fred if he's lying on the table and all of a sudden he wakes up, which he wouldn't do, this is hypothetical, he wakes up when they start to cut on him and he says, "Hey man, stop that," and he sat up on the table. He said, "Man, get out of my leg, I don't want you touching my leg," and he put his hand down there to cover up his leg. You say, that's crazy. He had obviously given in, he had obviously known that what they were doing for his life was important, and here's the point. He didn't sit up on the table and tell them to stop doing things. Well, we ought not sit up in our life or stand up and talk back and not thank God for the godly influence of a godly parents in our life. We ought to obey them. We ought to respect them because God tells us to. They're involved in the surgery of our life. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. You're in the book of Hebrews. I want you to see this verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Two groups of people he addresses here. He addresses those of us that have people ruling over us. And may I say, everybody has somebody that's an authority over them. You say, "Man, someday I'm going to graduate from this school and I'm going to get out of all this authority." Oh, really? Where are you going to go work where you're not going to have authority? Say, "Well, I'm going to become the boss." Well, most bosses even have authority. That's called the government. The government is our authority. And then obviously we have a higher authority than the government, obviously, and that's God. We all submit to some authority. So he speaks to a group of people that are submitting to authority. He says you ought to obey them that have the rule over you. If you can't learn to obey your parents who have the rule over you, what makes you think you're ever going to obey your boss? What makes you ever think that you're going to obey even the government? And so it's really ridiculous of us to stiff arm our authority when they're wanting for us what's best, when they're teaching us the Word of God. And then it says, submit yourself. That means to willingly place yourself under their authority. God has blessed you in this place. Those of you that go to this Christian school or go to this church, you have wonderful people teaching you the Word of God. You ought to willingly submit yourself to their authority and let them be involved in the surgical process of your life. Godly parents, teachers, pastors, and listen to them. Hey, adults, it's true for you too. Did you know that? There's a lot of adults in Baptist churches who have a problem with authority. They don't like what their pastor says, or they think their pastor should do it this way or that way, and they stiff-arm the authority of the local church. And many times those are the people that that cause church splits. And so it's not just the young people that he's talking to. It's all of us should submit to the authorities of our life. But then he addresses another group of individuals. He says, for they, who's they? The authority. Watch for your souls. And notice this, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Some of you teenagers say, man, I can't wait till I'm a parent so I can tell people what to do. But watch what the Bible says here. Parents, teachers, pastors, authorities, we will give an account for how we handle our authority. I'm a parent of four children. That's an overwhelming thought to me. One day I'll stand before God and I will give an account for how I handle the authority in my home. Whether I was a good parent or a bad parent, I'll give an account. And that's why I want to be a good parent. I want to follow what God says. I want to make sure that I have the right authority in my home. And teachers, you ought to want the right authority. Pastors, you ought to want the right authority because we give an account. So, hey, they're not off the hook, teenagers. They give an account. So you give an account for submission to your authority. The authority gives account for how they handle their authority. Here's the point. We all must give an account. And God uses those authorities in our life in the involvement in this surgical process. Are you the type of person that disrespects authority? Are you the type of person that doesn't want to be told what to do? Then you're the person that God wants to deal with here tonight. Allow the involvement in the surgery to take place. But third of all, in the procedure, the openness of the surgery, the involvement in the surgery, third of all, I want you to notice the purity of the surgery. We stood outside the surgical room. I stood right beside the surgeon. He was trying to explain to me what was going to be taking place in the surgical room on Fred. And while we stood there, a whole line of big basins, like sinks, okay? Like the kind you see in a mechanical shop, you know, the big, huge ones with the big spigot going down in there. And then the lava type soap, you know, that gets right down into the pores of your skin. You know what I'm talking about? Gets the grease off of your hands. And if you're a mechanic, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That soap is pretty cool. You take it and you scrub it and it gets all the dirt out of all the pores of your skin. Now, I stood there for about 15 minutes while I watched the surgeon and all the other technicians and nurses wash their hands for about 15 minutes. Pump that soap, wash it off, pump it again, wash it off while he's talking to me, wash it again, wash up his arms and stuff like that. Why is that so important? Well, because you can't have any infection, any dirt in your hands or in the room at all. The tools that they used on the last patient ought not be the tools that they use on you. They sterilize them. They oftentimes will throw away all the instruments and use totally brand new instruments that are perfectly sterile. They deck every person in the room out with these funny looking outfits. Green, the one that I wore was green. Green pants, a green shirt. We put on these funny looking outfits and we all marched in there looking pretty funny. Why is that so important? Because if you open up somebody, you saw open the sternum and you open up and expose the organs and you start cutting into them and you have infection and dirt on your hands, that infection and dirt can get inside the body, the physical body. You can sew that guy back up and you may think that everything's all right, but if that dirt gets inside, infection begins to spread, it can eventually kill him. And that's why a sterile field is very, very important. Well, what God says in our life is he wants to create a sterile field. He wants us to be as pure as we can possibly be. He wants sin to be fully purged out of our life. In the book of Habakkuk, it says that he is more pure that he cannot look upon evil. And God hates evil, and ye that love God ought to hate evil. If God hates it, we ought to hate it. We ought to stay away from sin. The reality is, as Christians, many times we try to get as close to the world and as close to the sin as possible. That's like walking into a surgical room with dirt on your hands. Why would we want to get close to the dirt of the world when God says that's going to make us impure, when it's unholy? God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we ought to seek to be completely spotless from sin. We ought to strive for perfection in your life. Say, Mike, that's impossible. It's impossible to be perfect. Well, with God, all things are possible, and we ought to strive for maturity and perfection in our spiritual life. The openness of the surgery, the involvement in the surgery, and the purity of the surgery. Are you allowing the procedure to take place in your life? Are you recognizing that you are completely open before a holy God who sees and knows all about you? He's omniscient, all-powerful, ever-present God, and he sees everything in your life. Are you letting the people in your life be involved in that surgical process, or are you bucking authority and saying no to what parents say, thinking they're scraped off Mars and they're not living in this generation? Hey, I've heard teenagers say those exact words. And your parents aren't scraped off Mars, and they are living in this generation. You better listen to your godly parents and those that are trying to teach you the truth of the Word of God, and let them affect your life. And then, are you seeking to cleanse your life? Maybe you're here with sin in your life. You need to purge it out tonight so that you have a sterile field. The procedure. Number two, I want you to see this. What was the problem? The procedure, number two, the problem. Obviously, for Fred, I wasn't sure what the problem was. I didn't sit there and ask him before he got knocked out. Hey, man, were you a smoker? Hey, man, did you drink a lot or something? What's the deal here? Did you overeat? I didn't ask him that, but I do know something. He had a problem, right? And therefore, he was having triple bypass surgery. It could have been he was overweight and he had eaten too many McDonald's hamburgers or something. It could be that he was drinking too much alcohol, because alcohol is often the cause of heart problems. It could be that he was a smoker, because oftentimes smoking causes heart problems. It could be that he was just out of shape and he hadn't been exercising. Or it could be there's something that was hereditary. Or it could be a mixture, a combination of all of them. But here's the point. There was something causing him to have heart failure. Now, in a triple bypass surgery, here's what takes place. In triple bypass surgery, obviously, there's three arteries, sometimes big, sometimes small. Most of the time, they're going to be small arteries if you have three of them, and they're either partially or completely blocked. Therefore, they're hindering the blood flow to other portions of your body, which could end up causing you to have a fatal heart attack. Nobody wants to die of a heart attack. So the doctor says he does a catheterization where he checks out your heart in a process that's really fantastic in medical terms. And you send this dye up into their body and you find out where the blocked portions are. They see how bad it is. And then they say, you know what? A stent is something that's put inside the vein to open up the artery. And if a stent isn't going to do the job, then they say, we need to operate. We need to do a bypass surgery. Here's what they do. They take those three arteries once they expose the heart. And by the way, that's a fascinating and incredible thing that I watched. For some of you, that would gross you out. But for me, it was fascinating to see the work of our Creator. You cannot stand and watch the body opened up with the organs exposed and think, we evolved. You can't think that. No, you can't ignore the Creator when you see that. But I won't gross you out and tell you exactly what I saw. But here's the point. There were three arteries that were blocked, and you take the vein that's pulled out of the leg, you cut it into little tiny pieces, and meticulous work is done to take those pieces, to attach them to before and then after the blocked portion of the artery, and eventually they say that artery grows together, and you would never know that there was ever a blocked portion. And that's what bypass surgery is all about. Then they sew the guy back up, and he goes to the recovery room. And so he did triple bypass surgery, three arteries that were either partially or completely blocked due to some problem in their life. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Proverbs. I want you to see that God wants to do bypass surgery in some problems in our spiritual life. Proverbs chapter 4 is a great passage of Scripture that deals with some spiritual problems in our heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. God knows your heart. You're completely open. He uses people and involves other people in the process of seeking to keep your heart right with God. And we ought to listen to them and obey them and submit ourselves to them and seek to be pure and clean. And that's exactly the procedure that took place that day. And in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, he says it this way, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The word keep means to guard or protect your heart. We have spiritual heart. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. And God says you are to guard that portion of your person. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Everything that flows out of life, according to this verse, comes from your heart. You see why you must have a heart for God? And then you must cultivate that heart, protect that heart against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because if you get into the world and you delve into the problems of this world and the problems of sin, you're going to have to do bypass surgery. And so he says here, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But notice the verses following. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. If you're going to guard your heart, you must guard what you say. Well, we got to guard our tongue. You need to make some changes before you have a heart attack because of your tongue. And then verse 25, he says, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I tell you, we live in a wicked day where the devil uses all kinds of media aspects and entertainment modes to get to our eye gate, which gets to our heart and affects the way that we live. He says, look right on. Keep your eyes right with God. You better be careful. You better watch out. And you better allow this surgery to take place even tonight. Confess that sin and get some help and some accountability so that you can have a heart that is right with God. All I'm saying is you got to guard what you look at. We could talk about a lot of other things. Number three says, ponder the path of thy feet, verse 26. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And the idea is guard the direction of your life. Guard your feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light in, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We ought to let God's word light our path, keep us going down the right path of life and not get off of it into some sin. Friends will do that sometimes. The things of this life will take us off of God's path, but we better guard the direction of our life and make it towards Jesus Christ. And these are three major areas that oftentimes we have problems with in our Christian life. Our tongue, what we look at, and the direction of our life. Let's have hearts that are pleasing to God. What is the problem in your life? Maybe it's not something that I just mentioned. What sin is it that you are harboring in your life that is causing you to have heart failure spiritually? What area do you need to bypass spiritually in your life? And by the way, sometimes it's small things. If whatever God points out in your life, you may think it's small, but it's important enough to God deal with you about. It's important. Just a small blocked artery can cause somebody to die of a heart attack. I mean, we're talking about very, very small. They even use these cool glasses that magnify so that they can even see what they're doing inside the body and doing that bypass portion of the heart. And so sometimes we may view it as being very small, but whatever God deals with you about, it's large enough for Him to talk to you about. You ought to do business with Him even tonight and deal with the problem. And so there was a problem. There's the procedure. There's the problem. What problem do you need to fix tonight? Let God do His surgical process in your life. Number three, I want you to notice this. The prescription. The prescription. Fred rolled into that room. He was completely open. Lots of people involved in that surgical process. Very amazing to watch. And the purity of the surgery. And then I noticed them do triple bypass surgery where they bypass the blocked portions of the heart that could cause them to have heart failure in the future. And so the blood would continue to flow, and that blood needs to flow spiritually in your life, and you better bypass those problems of sin in your life and confess them to the Lord even tonight. But after they sew him, put him back together, they sew him back up, they wake him up, obviously, they roll him into the recovery room. There's a couple different types of prescriptions that Fred has to take for the rest of his life. One is called preventive medicine. You see, when we know that we have a problem, and we know we have fallen in that area, and we've sinned, and we've confessed that sin, and we've given it over to God. And by the way, when we confess it, it's under the blood. He says He'll forgive it. And praise the Lord, every time He's going to forgive that sin. But why is it that oftentimes we go right back to the same sin that we fell in before? Why is it the next time we get tempted in that area, we fall again? And sometimes we fall again. The Bible says there's a sin that does so easily beset us. And oftentimes it's the very exact same sin that we're tempted with over and over again that we end up falling in. We need to do preventive medicine. Praise the Lord, He'll always forgive us. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. And the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But here's the point. We don't want to fall. We ought not desire to fall, so we ought to do preventive medicine. What preventive medicine do you need to do in your life? What sin do you need to stay away from? That's what I'm saying tonight. So there's preventive medicine. And then second of all, there's prescription medicine. I talked to my sister-in-law, Mark's wife, who is a nurse, and she said, verified this, that the pill that you take as a heart patient, and you come out of that heart procedure, the pill that you take every day for the rest of your life. And if you forsake that prescription, you could easily have another heart attack. You could end up having another bypass surgery. You should take that medication every single day the rest of your life. It's really dumb if Fred says, "Yeah, I don't really need that." No, he ought to take the doctor's prescription, get it filled, and start taking his medicine. Well, what is the prescription, or what is the medicine in our spiritual life that affects our heart? It's the medicine of the Word of God. And this book will keep you from sin. This book we need to take into our life every single day. It's like taking a prescription drug. And we need to read it, study it, memorize it, so it will keep us from sin. This book is a sword, the Bible says. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We read in Hebrews chapter 4. But the Bible says it's also a sword in the army of the Lord to defeat the devil and to help us walk with God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. I wonder, young person, Christian here tonight, how much time do you spend in this book? Do you love this book? David said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." There's lots of other things in this life that we love as Christians, but no other love should surpass the love of this book, the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we really love something, we will spend time with it. We'll spend time with our God if we love Him. We'll seek to obey Him. Don't say you love God's Word if you're willingly disobeying it. You ought to take the Word of God. If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments, the Bible says. And if you love this book, you'll do what it says. And if you follow this book, it will keep you from sin. It'll help your spiritual heart be pure and clean so that you're not heading for disaster spiritually, so you don't have a spiritual heart attack. And so the prescription is get in the Word. I wonder, do you have a time with the Lord every day? Are you memorizing the Word of God? Most of the verses that I have memorized even to this day were verses that I memorized in high school when I was your age. At Christian camp, in my Christian school, you ought to take those verses, build those passages in your life, and tuck them away and use them to defeat the devil. Memorization and meditation on Scripture is your prescription every day. So when Fred rolled in that day, the procedure that took place is similar to the procedure in our spiritual life. The problem also helped me realize that in my life spiritually and in your life as Christians, sometimes we have some bypass surgery to do on some problems of our life, some confession of sin. Don't cover your sin, confess it. And then the prescription was very evident to me, preventive prescription and prescription drugs. And that is evident in our life. Stay away from the sin, get in the Word, and you can have a heart that is pleasing to God.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Heart Surgery from Evangelist Mike Herbster. It was originally presented in September of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.